Good evening. So, I was up at camp for 2 weeks, and that was a lot of fun. Got to experience some interesting things. Now, I've been to camp before. I grew up going to camp, so I knew, I knew that there would be bugs, and I knew there'd be bug bites, and I knew there would be, kind of the heat and the humidity and the rain and all of the great things about nature, of course. I didn't know it'd be quite so cold. So that was the one curveball, being from Nashville. That was weird to me. I've never packed a sweatshirt for camp. And so I had to pack a sweatshirt. So, but other than that, everything was good. Everything was a lot of fun, spiritually fulfilling. Physically draining, but it's all good. We've had a good couple weeks. Continue to pray for the next couple weeks of camp, because this is this intermediate and this junior week. These are foundational things. These are people are pouring their lives into this cause of teaching these kids, and it's a really special place. I can already tell. Pray with me, please, and then I'll go ahead and get started. God, I thank you for gathering us tonight. I thank you for the weather and your beautiful creation that you have, Father. I thank you for rain. As inconvenient as it may be sometimes, I thank you that that it's there, that you bring it, and that it helps to make your creation even more beautiful. God, be with me tonight as I speak. God, don't let anything I say be my words. Let it all be from you, God. And God, I thank you again just so much for this opportunity, for this ability, God. I love you, and it's in your name I pray. Amen. So, a couple of things. Well, actually, no, not a couple of things. I want to go ahead and start, right? There was a man in the early 1900s. And this man, he had a message, a vision, and it might have been a little bit crazy. This message was so innovative and so countercultural that in the face of all the other messages that were being proclaimed at that time, it really stood out. This message was pretty simple. This man believed that entertainment, namely cartoons, animation, could actually change the world and could bring joy to people's lives. And in a time of Great Depression, literally the Great Depression, this belief that joy and laughter and happiness could change hearts, could change lives, could change people, it really stood out. It was a beacon of hope. It was a light in a very, very dark time. And this man had a message, and this message was one that the world needed to hear. But we have a message too. And actually this morning, as I was listening to Brad's message, I was kind of like, man, that's kind of what I was going to talk about. But it's all good. Now it's an elaboration, a continuation of the point. And so as great as this man's message was, we have one that is far greater. Brad talked this morning about a man in Mark chapter 5 who was possessed by multiple demons. And Jesus rescued him from that. And this man had been living in the hills. He had been outcast from society. He had been acting like an animal. And Jesus rescued this man. And after he rescued him, he gave him a simple task. He said, go home to your family. Go home to your own people, to your friends, and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And this really is the essence of Christianity. This is the essence of what we are called to do. If you think about it, we believe in the gospel. We believe in the Bible. Another word for gospel is good news. You see, I've got the newspaper in the back. This is good news. News isn't always good. Now, the very essence of news is that it's information that is designed to be shared. It's not good or bad. inherently, it's just news. It's just something that needs to be shared. And in our fast-paced world, we receive the news instantly. You know, anymore, there's no more waiting for Sunday for, you know, for the big paper to show up, unless you do coupons and stuff. But, you know, there's not really much waiting for till next Sunday for the paper. There's not even waiting till 6 o'clock to get the news. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, we came back from work camp, and by the time I got here, everybody got loaded back up and went back home. You know, it was about lunchtime. And if you don't know, I live right next to Home Pizza. The laughter, I can tell. You know how much of a temptation this has to be. I park in the back of my apartment building most of the time, and I walk right past Home Pizza to get to the front to where my door is. And most of the time, I can, you know, even though I smell the pizza and it smells great, and, you know, I really just want to go in there, most of the time I'm able to resist that and, you know, not spend any money there and everything. But after work camp, it was a little bit tougher. You know, I'd gotten rid of my bread the week before, so, you know, I didn't have any sandwich stuff or anything. I didn't want to cook anything because I just got back from work camp, and that's not happening. And so this particular time, I walked by, and Home Pizza smelled real good. So I walked in and, you know, ordered my slices, and everything was good. And while I was waiting to get that food, I was just kind of scrolling through Twitter. And I was able to see some of the news maybe that I'd kind of missed out on while I was at work camp. And that was when the big Supreme Court ruling came out, and I was able to see it instantly. This is an age where, you know, I don't even have cable. And I knew that news before some of you did, because I was able to get it just right there on my phone. And, you know, while technology is a good thing, sometimes I don't always love the instantaneous news that we get. You know, when I was growing up, I used to have to psych myself up for the nightly news. And that might be weird. But, you know, I wanted to see cool stories. I wanted to see, you know, we found water on Mars. That's awesome. Like, that's cool, because I was going to be an astronaut. And that was, like, super great. And, you know, I loved watching the sports segment. Because what's different about the local news sports between that and, like, ESPN, is that the local news sports, especially if your team isn't that good, Pirates fans, you can sympathize with me here. Maybe not. I'm about to get kicked out. But, you know, if you're watching the local news, and that sports segment will just show your team, that team in the area. And so for me, that was a real exciting thing. I wanted to see what was going on, you know, what was going on behind the scenes with my team. And so that was one of the good things I would look forward to, but I had to psych myself up because those aren't the first things they always share. On the news, they share what the top story is. And what the top story is usually is somebody got shot and killed in the next town over. A tornado went through our town or another town. You know, there was a robbery in town. A child is missing. Or, of course, the classic, you know, will the food in your refrigerator kill you? The answer may surprise you. And so I used to have to psych myself up. I used to have to get, you know, because I don't want to hear all that junk. You know, that stuff's not good. That stuff's not the stuff I want to hear. I want to hear the good things. I want to hear the cool things, the awesome things. And so I used to tell myself that even though there's bad things going on in the world, and even though I have to hear about it even on the news, you know, I might get to see some good things too. If I just, you know, keep watching, I might get to see some good things. But now, I don't even have time to psych myself up. I was walking in Walmart one day, and I get an alert on my phone that Ray Rice, a pro football player who is, you know, who is a very influential guy, who kids everywhere look up to him, want to be just like him when they grow up, learned that he was involved in domestic violence. and was going to be suspended. And then, you know, I'm sitting in the living room not too long ago, watching a movie with my family, with my little brothers and my sister, and I get a thing on my phone that says that Robin Williams has committed suicide. These are things I don't want to hear. And it's tough getting news that quickly. It's tough getting news like that quickly. It's tough getting news like that at all. But even though we have so much bad news in the world, so many things that are just hurt to hear, we have a great message to proclaim. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading in verses 1 through 10. It says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Now, Paul is writing this to the church in Ephesus. And I'll admit, he does start off with the bad news first. But the thing I love about the way he starts this is that while he does start off with the bad news first, this bad news is in past tense. Look at it again. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, among whom we all once lived." All of this is past tense. All of this, he's saying, this is something that you did do. This was bad news at one point, but there's a reason why it's not anymore. There's a reason why now it's good news. And the difference is in verse 4. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy." God being rich in mercy. See, this is our message. This is our gospel. This is our good news that we get to take hold of. Now, we were dead. We were enemies of God. We were against everything that he stood for. We were against love. We were walking in trespasses and sins, all of these terrible things that we once did. We were following the prince of the power of the air, which is an incredibly descriptive thing of Satan. We were following him. We were running after things that were temporary, running after things that just would not last. But God saved us by his grace and through our faith in him. We were enemies of God, but he saved us anyway so that we could experience the immeasurable riches of his grace. This is our message. This is the good news. And those of us who have taken hold of it, those of us who are trying to follow in that, can rejoice in that, right? We're excited about that. This is a very, very good thing. In verse 10, Paul kind of shows something that I really like. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." These good works, these good things, part of that is part of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Jesus commands us to go make disciples of all nations. He also commands us like he commanded the man in Mark 5. Go to your family, to your home, to your friends. Jesus talks about Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Judea and Samaria would be, we would say St. Clairsville and Bel Air. I mean, this is, right here, and then to the ends of the earth. So all of this, he's saying, go, tell anyone who will listen, anybody who will hear, tell them this good news. And we're created for it. In verse 10, we're created for it. We're his workmanship. We're created for these good works. There's a reason Paul is saying this specifically to the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a big port city. All the business, all the trade, everything would usually go through Ephesus and go somewhere else. So this church in Ephesus, if people were traveling, if people were on ships or bringing things in, they might see these people in Ephesus worshiping, and they might come in and they might hear the gospel. And so this was a city, this was a place where a lot of people were moving in and out, and a lot of ears were moving in and out. A lot of people would be able to hear this message. And so Paul is saying, let your light shine. Do these good works because you have been saved, because this is your good news that you can grab onto and you can take a hold of. The man I talked about earlier from the 1900s who had this message, this man was Walt Disney. And he had this message, this idea that joy could be achieved through cartoons, through a little mouse. And with all of this, and with a few amusement parks, and with a lot of commercialization and a lot of things, he was able to achieve magic, is what he calls it. Now we wouldn't call it magic; we would call it joy. We would call it excitement. But this isn't. This message, this joy, this type of excitement and magic even pales in comparison to the one that we have. Because, his message is I have this little mouse, and this little mouse can, along with his friends, can bring you joy and can teach you lessons, and you can go on these amusement parks and you can see all of these things. I mean, I talked to somebody this past week who worked at Disney. And she was talking about, she worked in the Cinderella's castle, and she was like a fairy godmother in training, and it was really cool. She was walking through, and I mean, Cinderella came in, and she said she was just as starstruck as the little girls in the chairs. I mean, because what they do at this place is they want you, they want even their employees to go, wow, this is a great place. And they want even their employees to experience this joy that everyone there can experience, because if the employees experience it and everyone working there experiences it, then the kids will too, and the adults will too, and everyone who goes will experience that too. And this all started with this dream, this little mouse, this little idea in 1921 that he was going to become an animator. And so Walt Disney proclaim this message, but like I said before, our message is much greater. Our message is a more pure joy, a truer joy. And our kingdom that we are now a part of will last forever. If you're here tonight and this sounds like something you might want to be a part of, first of all, I praise God for that. Come and talk to us. Talk to one of the elders. Talk to me. Talk to Brad when he's in town. Because this, we believe that we have this message. For those of you who are in Christ, for those of you who are proclaimers of this message with me, I pray for you. I pray that you don't lose heart, that you don't lose focus of what this message is and what it means. But if you need help, if you need prayer, at any point, why don't you come on down to the front as we stand and sing together.